Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Again, it's good to see everyone out. You know, as a parent, sometimes you wonder, but Kelly and I, we went up to my camp in Webster County this weekend, and we didn't get back till about noon today, but it was good to know that Tatum and Lainey came to church, and Lainey even brought her friend. So I don't think they quite made it to 10 o'clock service, but they made it to 11. So for a teenager, I'm not going to complain. But at least they brought it on themselves to even come. So I'm glad of that. So does anyone have a testimony at this time? If not, would anyone have a prayer? We'll go into prayer requests. Anyone have a prayer request?
Brian, I just want to praise the Lord.
Bless you, Tim.
Good to me. And I don't deserve a thing. I really don't. But I don't have a burning testimony. But I just want to give you praise. I just want to praise him. He has been so good to me. You know, I just don't know how else to say it, Chris. It's, you know, there's been times when it's been low, but there's been times when it's been high. It sure is nice to be on the high side.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Tim.
Bless you, Tim.
So special, you got all the pews on this side to yourself. That's VIP pew section right there. Anyone else?
Pray for Brenda. She got a pinched nerve in her right leg now.
Speaking of backs, I think Chuck, as far as I know, Chuck's doing all right.
Praise the Lord.
He's home now, and I think he slept in his own bed. We were joking. We were going, he slept, spent so much time on that couch. He said, as soon as West Virginia wins a game, we're burning the couch. So he's sick of the couch. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So
he's ready to get that couch for a while.
Yeah. He's ready to get rid of that couch, that's for sure. But I think he's doing well. I mean, I think the surgery really helped him. So, anyone else?
Well, I'll suggest him either in Oklahoma or on his way. Surgery
and peace. Yep. Bless you, Vicki.
Can you remember the hall?
Remember Meredith, I think she's on the mend slowly, I think.
Yes.
We need to keep remembering her at golf.
Yep.
I told Missy that there were a lot of prayers requested here for him and that we were praying, and she said that she'd have no idea how much that means to both of them, so remember him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I travel to the Easter Panhandle tomorrow, and I'm really not excited about the weather, so
right.
Just remember me while I'm traveling, and I have a special study.
Yep. Bless you, Jessica.
Let's remember our military and our country.
Amen.
And all my neighbors, and had their grandson's birthday party over here this afternoon. And their mama's daughter, she's still going through that depression. All, but you know, all the ones that come, they know where the church is.
Yep.
Got no excuse now if you ask them. They know where you go to church. They know now.
They know where you go.
There's some each year that comes. This is, I guess he's six today, so he may be going to have a third, probably first, second, third, whatever. But some different come each time. So just remember them. And my grandson, he's 13 now. His mother called, that's the oldest one, 10 years ago, and said he might have hurt his foot out here today. And I hope and pray not. You ask the Lord to deal with it, because he started baseball practice. He's a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
He's good all around sports, football, baseball, and basketball. And anyway, just remember him in prayer, because like seeing him here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like seeing him here. God knows all about you. You have to plan for him.
That's right.
And I was thinking last morning, sitting here, Paul, my son, he's had a girlfriend problem. And I think about this morning, and he just might walk in here, but he didn't. I was just thinking, you know, when you're down and out,
the
place to be at the altar
there. Right.
Anyway,
God knows all about it. It'll work out. Just remember us in prayer. Bless you, Jesus. Anyone else? All right. If not, if you have an unspoken request, you'd like to signify above, praise hand. The altar's open. Pray till you're finished.
Thank you.
to anyone else with word for the Lord this evening? If not, Rob, if you'll get ready, come on up.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Rob.
He's wired up and ready to go.
Good evening. You know, we couldn't be more spread out to have so few here.
You want me to sit way back in
unless
the corner,
we stuck one in the corner and one in each corner. It'd be the only way we could spread out more than we are now. So I have an idea. Why don't we move closer together? Why don't we let's move to the VIP section.
Okay.
Up front on Mike's side. Let's try that. Let's just move up front. Let's inhabit the first two pews. How about that? Let's inhabit the first two pews here. That way you can pick the dark side or the light side, or the dark side or the light side. One of the two pews in the front of the sides. Now, on this side, we, one, two.
The pastor's the one that's not following the rules. He's on the fourth one.
He didn't hear the rules.
He didn't hear the rules.
I love you, brother.
Okay. All right. If you've got your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Man, it's quiet in here. It's too quiet. Do what? Quiet your... okay. I ain't touching that one. All right. First lesson is on lying, all right? Or just not telling the truth, or maybe. All right. James chapter 4, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for bringing us here safely, Father. Thank you for those that came out. God, I ask you to bless us right now, Lord, with your spirit moving, Father, with your voice talking, Father, with your presence among us. God, if there's anyone here tonight that needs you for anything, help us to come to you. Help us to come forward, Lord, and give it to you or get from you, God, because you're the God that gives. You're the God that takes away, Father. You do what we need, Father. And I ask tonight, Lord, that you would bless this message, Father. Help me to speak the words that you have. Help me to present what you help me to present, Father. Lord, help me to step back, God, that you could step forward. Help me to quiet so you can speak up, Jesus. Father, Lord, speak right now to each one of us in our life, what we're going through. Help us to obey your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You know, I was thinking about something. I was thinking about, are we not hearing what God wants us to hear? Are we not getting what God wants us to get? Are we not feeling that God is even around? Are we not? So I wanted to address that sometimes we need to move toward God. Sometimes we need to move toward God. It's not always that God's not doing his part. Sometimes it's that we're not doing our part. We're not doing what God wants us or needs us to do. Sometimes we need to take that step. We need to make that move. The Bible says it like this: "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." It doesn't say that God needs to come to you or God needs to come to me. It says that we need to come to him. It's not his responsibility if I'm going through something to come to me. It's for my responsibility to go to him. If I need his help, it's for me to go to him and ask. Now, does he know what I need? He knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly what you need. But he wants you to come and ask. He wants you to come to him. He wants you and me to seek after him, to seek continually after him. When we're in the middle of something, God wants us to take the initiative. God wants us to take the action. God wants us to move towards him, sometimes before he moves towards you. Thought of it like this. You might be waiting to hear from God, or you might just be waiting on God to move, but maybe he's waiting on you to move. Maybe you've been praying for something for a while. Maybe you've been believing for something for a while. Maybe you've been going through something and expecting God to move for a while, to the point where you or I have not continued to pray or seek or call or ask. And we're just waiting for God, and we're thinking, God, we're sitting here waiting for God to move, and maybe God's sitting there waiting for you to move. It's kind of like a stare down. You know, he who blinks loses. Well, who can stare down longer, you or God, me or God? Who can stand there longer, me or God? Who can be there longer, me or God? Right? If I just stare long enough, I'm going to blink. If I stand too long, I'm going to fall. But God never will fail. Maybe we need to move towards God because he's waiting for you or me to take a step. That's what we're going to talk about. Seeking after the Lord, walking towards God, moving towards God. Maybe God is waiting to hear from you before God is going to work for you. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe God's waiting to hear from you before he's going to work for you. Maybe he wants you to tell him what you want him to do. You know, God says, well, I can do all things. I have all power under heaven. I have all power on the earth. I have all power of all power. I can do what I want. I can do what you want. I can do what you need. I know what you need. But maybe he's waiting for you or me to say, God, can you do this way? God, can you do this for me? He's waiting for you to come and to speak and to move towards him, to take that step towards God before he will work for you on your behalf and do what you need him to or do what you want him to. Maybe it's up to us, or as we say, maybe the ball is in our court. Maybe the ball is on our court. Jesus said one time that if you have the faith as of mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and tell it to do what? And what will it do? It'll move. Notice he didn't say, if you stand there and stare at it, it'll get uncomfortable and then it'll move. Or if you stand there and wish, then it'll move. He said, if you speak to that mountain, if you take action, if you use your faith, if you make a movement, you tell it what to do, then it'll move. It's the same thing with God. He says, sometimes I want you to take that step forward. I want you to move towards me. I want you to get closer to me. I want you to draw nigh to me. I want you to get near to me. Because if I'm not close to God as I used to be, it's not God that moved, it's me that moved. But God says, if you will draw nigh, then I will draw nigh. If you'll take that step, I'll take that step. Like the prodigal son's dad, he said, if you'll come towards me, I'll go towards you. And it's kind of like when you got saved. When I rededicated my life in 1989 and sat back there, I remember taking one step over my friend David, and next thing I knew, I was here because I took one step towards God, and God came running to me. He's waiting sometimes on us to move. And it's in Scripture. You can find that in Scripture. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 real quick. Exodus 3 and verse 2 says this. And the angel of the Lord, this is Moses. Now Moses is living his life. He's just living life is all he's doing. He's out there feeding sheep. He's out there taking care of sheep. He's out there just watching over the sheep. And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord appeared. Angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but it was not consumed. So there's Moses. Just think about this for a minute. There's Moses in his daily life, just taking care of sheep. That's what he did for his father-in-law. Sat there taking care of sheep. And next thing you know, he's walking. He's taking him out to the backside of the mountain. And he notices up to the side that there's a bush. There's this bush that's burning, but it's not burning up. That's kind of like hell. If we go there, to burn but to not burn up. Hell is to die, to be dying but to never die. That's the bad part about hell, is it doesn't end. It never ends. But there's Moses. Think about it. Moses is just taking care of his sheep, and there's this bush over there. And he says, And I think verse 3 says, tells you and me, verse 3 says, Moses said to himself, I think I'll turn aside and go check this bush out. He spoke to himself. How many of you talk to yourself? A couple of you? How many of you talk back to yourself? Okay. Two of us. I am the best conversationalist I have ever met. I have the best conversations with me and me, and I'm never wrong in them. It's just great conversation. But the Bible says Moses said to himself, I think I will turn aside and look at this bush and figure out what's going on. Now think about this for just a minute. Moses, because this is how God is. Sometimes he appears in your daily life just out of nowhere. Moses, what are you doing today? Well, I'm going to get up, I'm going to take the sheep out, and I'm going to put them in the field, and I'm going to watch over them. Then when the day's over, I'm going to take them, put them in the fold, I'm going to go home, I'm going to eat and go to bed. Then tomorrow, I'm going to get up and take sheep out to the field, I'm going to watch over them while they eat. And then when it's evening, I'm going to take them back to the fold and put them in, I'm going to go eat and go to bed. Moses, tomorrow I'm going to get up in the morning, take my same old, right? But in the middle of his same old, God says, not today. Today ain't the same old. You think it's going to be the same. Just like tomorrow morning, how many of you are going to get up and do tomorrow on the Monday what you did last Monday? And the Monday before that? And the Monday before that? Same old, right? Sometimes God interrupts your same old. In the middle of your mundane Monday, your ho-hum, humdrum, just regular old Monday, God jumps right out of nowhere. And the Bible says that Moses went over to this bush, and he says he went to where God was. So he turned aside and went to the bush. And notice, it wasn't until he went towards the bush that God actually spoke up. Verse 4 tells you this, that he went to the bush and he said, wow, the bush isn't burning. And out of the midst of the bush, God called. But while Moses was just near the bush, God didn't talk. While Moses was just doing his daily thing, God didn't talk. It wasn't until Moses actually moved towards where God was, got closer to God. That's when God spoke up. So when Moses moved to God, God spoke to Moses. Sometimes if you're waiting to hear back from God, you've asked him a question, you need an answer. Sometimes we just need to start moving towards God, seeking again after God, going after God, calling on God. Don't stay back and wait. Because waiting doesn't move things. Speaking to things, taking action, moving towards God is what makes things move. God says, when Moses came to me, then I spoke to him. So if you need to hear from God, maybe you need to step towards God. If you're waiting on an answer to prayer from God, maybe you need to move a little closer. Just like Moses. If we go to Matthew chapter 8, I'm just going to touch on a few real quick. Matthew chapter 8. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1 says this. Matthew 8 says, when Jesus, speaking of Jesus, when he would come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So here we see Jesus up on a mountaintop, teaching and preaching and healing and saving. And when he gets done, he comes down off the mountain. Now, then there's this leper. There's a leper that sees Jesus, sees him afar off. He's not beside him. And he's probably not coming to him. So the Bible says when Jesus come down off the mountain, the leper, you know what leprosy is, right? If you had leprosy, what'd you have to do when you saw somebody coming towards you? You had to say, unclean. Cry out. You had to scream. Because you had to catch them far off. You had to catch them far out there so they wouldn't get near you. And you had to cry and scream and shout, I'm not clean. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I need you to not get near me. I need to be an outcast to you. I need to be a stranger to you. I need to be one that you can't be around. I need to be alone, not with you. So this leper should have cried out if he did what everybody said you should do. If he did what they say you should do. You know, they say in this time that if you had leprosy, you should cry out, unclean, don't get near me, stay away, don't get close, I don't want to be near you. Listen though, this leper said, I know what I'm supposed to do according to what they say, but I know that this man that I see walking down off this hill has the answer to my problem. Anybody know the person that has the answer to your problem? Anybody in here have problems? I mean, anybody have problems in life?
Yeah.
All right, five of us. We just need to talk to the rest of those people, though, because they don't got problems. Life is good. You know, that's the problem. You know, I ask the kids on Wednesday night, I say, anybody got prayer requests? And they just look at each other and look at me, and you hear that cricket, you know, in the background, because nose. I'm like, man, you guys live a good life. Because rarely do they have a prayer request. I'm thinking, life is good. Keep it that way. Keep it that way, right? Because when life is good, it's good. So this leper, though, he says, I've got something that I need to get rid of that I can't get rid of. But I see one is coming who can take care of what I need to be taken care of. This is what happens. The Bible says that he knew what he should do. He knew what he was supposed to do according to man. He knew what they say that he should do. But when you have what they say is wrong, and you know what can help it, and it's not what they say, we don't really care what they say. They can say what they want. The world can say what they want, but if going with the world keeps me sick, if going with the world keeps me in my situation, if going with the world keeps me in the midst of my problems, the world can take their ideas and just go, because I don't want what they got. I don't want what I have. I want out of it. So if the world says do this, and I know that's not going to help, why would I do that? So this leper says it like this. He says, I don't care what you say I should do. I don't care what everybody wants me to do. I just know this man has the answer to my problem. This man has the healing for my sickness. So the Bible says he came to Jesus and worshiped him. Instead of running from him, crying out that I'm unclean, he knows that he just says, I'm just going to get to that man. Because if I can get to that man, then I can be taken care of, I can be made clean, I can be made whole, and I can go back to my family. Because think about it for a minute. If you had leprosy, you lost everything that you had. Life, love, family, friends, you lost it all. It didn't just eventually take your life. It took everything away from you. So the Bible says that he came to Jesus. You know, it's like this. There are people who want you to be in the situation that you're in. Because when we're having hard times, it makes some people feel better about themselves. Because we look down on people to make us feel like we're up higher, like we're better. But this guy says, I don't care what you want. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think I need to do. I don't care what you want. He says it like this. God says it like this. Do what God wants you to. If it goes against what man wants you to, do what God wants you to. If man says do A and God says do B, it's like this. God says it in Isaiah 55, I think it is. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, world. My ways are not your ways, world. Mine's higher than yours. My ideas are not your ideas, world. My wants and wishes are not your wants and wishes. Because I want the best for everybody. I want everybody to be on top. I want everybody to be the victor. I want everybody to be the winner. So if you'll just stick with what I say and what I do, even though the world thinks it's not good, even though if the world thinks it's wrong, even though if the world says don't do it, if you go with me, if you stick with me, if you walk with me, if you talk with me, if you obey me and you follow me, everything's going to be okay. Even if it doesn't sound right. Just ask Joshua. Joshua at Jericho. Joshua tells the people, think about this for just a minute. All right, we're going to be part of the crowd, all right? We're going to be part of the Israelites. Joshua comes to us and says, we're going to take Jericho. How many of you would have a good battle plan? How many of you would have a good battle plan? Right, that's what I mean. You think, how many of us could have a good battle plan? Would it be we're going to walk around the city in total silence once a day for 6 days, and then next day seven, we're going to walk seven. Would that be anybody's battle plan? All right, here's what I think. Because I know how I am. I know how we are, right? We know better, don't we? How many of you had kids in sports? Weren't we better coaches from the stands than the coaches on the... Absolutely. I mean, we know better. We can coach better. We have the better ideas. You know, we're sitting up there and we're going, well, that one should be and this should be. So I think it like this. You know, Joshua says, this is what we're going to do. And I think that evening they were like, what a ignorant plan. What do you think? That's a dumb plan. That doesn't make no sense. I know. Don't you know a better way than that? Here's what we ought to do. This walking around stuff, but let me tell you, what do you think? And I think it like this. I think, now, I think as they walked to Jericho, I think there were a lot of those conversations. Well, we ought not be doing this. This is crazy. We're going to get killed. This ain't going to work. I mean, a million plus people. I know these conversations are going on. Well, let me tell you what I know we should do. But listen, here's what they did. Here's the lesson we could learn. They had their own ideas, but they followed the leader of God. They had their own ideas, I'm sure, but they followed God's leader. I may think different than what your leader says, but if your leader's plugged into God, follow him or her, because God leads the right way. May not be what I think. It may seem weird or crazy, but if he's plugged in or she's plugged into God and he's following God, it's always going to work out. It's always going to be okay. We are better armchair coaches than we are down on the bench coaches, but the bench coach is the leader and oftentimes knows better because he knows the whole team. Joshua knew God and was plugged into God. And those people were plugged into Joshua. So though they thought better, and I know they did, I would. Oh, I'd have had a big old plan out there. But it would have been wrong. It would have been wrong. But this leper, he said, you know what? The world says, tells me to stand back, scream unclean. He said, but I don't care what the world says. I know what he can do. My plan is to get to him. So the Bible says that he came to Jesus and he worshiped Jesus and he said, Master, if you will, you can make me whole. He confessed that Jesus had the power. He believed that Jesus had the power. And verse 3 says something amazing. The Bible says Jesus reached out and touched him. Now, what normally would happen if you touched a leper? You got it. Leper number 2. Nobody can touch you. But the Bible says Jesus reached out and touched him. And immediately, leprosy was gone. Because he had faith in Jesus, faith in God. He moved towards God. He came to Jesus. He worshiped Jesus. And in faith, he got it. Because he said, if you will, you can. And God said, I will. So here we go. Here we go. What is it you need? What kind of touch do you need from Jesus? What kind of touch do you need from God? Maybe it's time for you or me to step up a little bit closer. Maybe it's time for us to move a little bit closer. Maybe it's time for us to seek a little bit harder, to pray a little bit longer. All right, so he speaks when we move closer. He touches when we move closer. Luke chapter 19 says it like this. This is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Right? So the Bible says, wee little man was he, right? So we see in Luke chapter 19 that the Bible says that Jesus entered into the city. Jesus entered into Jericho. All kinds of people around him. All kinds of people following him, because by this time his fame had spread and people knew what he could do and knew what he would do. The Bible says that he was in Jericho and there was all kinds of people lining the street, all the way down the street. And there was this guy named Zacchaeus. Now let me tell you about Zacchaeus for a minute, because you know he's a tax collector, right? That's what we know. Let me tell you in studies what other people said, right? Said he was the chief tax collector. Chief. He was over the other tax collectors. He was top dog. Here's what another one said. Another one says that he was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business. Therefore, he was very rich. Now, along with being rich, you have power, right? People know who he was. I'm sure when he walked down the street, people said, that's Zacchaeus. Right. That's Zacchaeus. Pop on the head. And they knew who he was. And with great wealth and fame has great power. So I'm sure when he spoke, people moved. Right? Because people with great fame and wealth have people that move when they speak. So the Bible says, though, that no matter what all that was, because everybody knew who he was. Yeah, he stole from most of them, and that's why he was so rich. But the Bible says that he wanted to see Jesus. So Jesus came to town. And this is what it says. The Bible says he tried, but he couldn't see over to people. Now, let me show you something here. Zacchaeus, on a normal day, probably would have walked up and said, "Move. I want up front," and would have been put up front, right? Because he has very high in power. Let me tell you, when it comes to Jesus, and if you know who Jesus is, it don't matter who anybody else is. When you know the stature of Jesus, nobody else's stature matters. When you know the power of Jesus, nobody else's power matters. When you know who Jesus is, you know who everybody else is not. So even though he, on a normal day, he could have said, "All right, part so I can walk up," they would have. Today, they're like, "Nope, ain't happening, because I want to see Jesus. I want to see the man that's coming by. I want to be one of them that sees that man." So now Zacchaeus could have stood in the back and just heard Jesus. Could have heard him as he was talking as he went by. But he wouldn't have got anything out of it. Zacchaeus said, "I want to see him." And so 19:4 says, he ran before. He had a plan. He assessed his situation. He looked at the situation. He had a plan. You know, the Bible says in Romans 12, is it 1? 12:1? "Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us." Now let's look at that weight for just a minute. Another translation says it's like this: "Let us get rid of everything that hinders us." How bad do you want to see Jesus? Bad enough to get rid of everything that hinders you? What hindered Zacchaeus? The people in front of him? The fact that he was short and they weren't? The fact that he couldn't get through the number? So the Bible says he got rid of all that thing that hindered him. So he ran up ahead and he found a tree tall enough that he could see over top of what was bothering him. In other words, he got to where he could see over top of his problem. When you go after Jesus, he brings you up to where you can see over top of your problems, your issues, your circumstances. So he said, "I am going to go to where I can see Jesus. I'm going to go and get rid of. I'm going to fight through the barricade, fight through the stumbling block. I'm going to fight through the wall. I'm going to fight through that which holds me back from getting to Christ." How bad do you and I want to get to Christ? Bad enough to go through what I have to go through. Bad enough to get through all the stuff, to push through, to fight through, to get through everything that the devil throws at you. Because you know who Jesus is, that you're going to get to Jesus. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world throws. It doesn't matter what the devil brings up to you. We're going to get through to Jesus. Because when you follow Jesus, the devil ain't going to like you. But when you get to Jesus, you got what you need. So the Bible says that Zacchaeus got to where he could see Jesus. He came to the point where he was with Jesus. And you know the story. The Bible says that Jesus walked and stopped right at that tree. Stopped right where Zacchaeus was and looked up at him and said, "Zacchaeus," what did he say? "Make haste. Hurry up. Let's go because I've got to go to your house." End of the story. Zacchaeus confesses Christ that he is Lord. And Jesus says, "This day has salvation come to the whole household." So through Zacchaeus coming to Jesus, moving towards Jesus, getting closer to Jesus, salvation came to Zacchaeus and his house, everybody in his house. Jesus is like that. He can speak to you. He can touch you. He can save you. He can bring you out of what you're in the middle of. Mark 5, one more. Mark 5. Now in this story, in this part of the scripture, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, and you know the story. There's a lady who has an issue she's had for 12 years, right? This issue for 12 years. And the Bible says, now remember, Moses said to himself, "I'm going to turn aside and get to Jesus," right? The Bible says that this lady had spent everything she had trying to get whole, trying to be healed, trying to be made clean, trying to get relief, trying to just find a single doctor that could do what she needed. But she spent all that she had, and the Bible says she was none the better, but she was worse. But real quick, she said in herself, That's what the Bible says. She said within herself, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Him, then I can be made whole. If I can just reach close enough to reach out and just touch Him, I will be made whole. If I can get close enough to just get to the hem of His garment, I don't even need... The faith that she had is amazing. The faith that she had said, I don't need to get all the way to Him. I just need to get within reach of Him. I need to be close to Him. That's all, I need to be close to Him. But the thing that I like is that she said within herself, that she said, if I, talking to me, talking to herself, if I can get to Him, I'll be made whole. Sometimes when you're going through life, you have to encourage yourself. You know that? Because people ain't going to do it. People, if they don't understand what you're doing, they're not going to encourage you. Oftentimes, they'll tear you down. The Bible says about David in 1 Samuel that David was greatly distressed because the people were tired and mad and they wanted to kill him. It said they were going to stone him. And it said, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Sometimes you just have to tell yourself you can do it. You just have to tell yourself you can do it. You can make it. It's going to be all right. God's going to be with you. God's with you now. He always has been. He is right now. And He always will be. His plan is a good plan. His plan is the right plan. His plan is the plan to follow. His plan will always work out. So no matter what anybody's saying, you need to get through. And the Bible says she pushed through till she reached out and touched Him. Just the hem of His garment. And immediately, her blood issue dried up. Moved closer to God. Now, that's four people that move closer to God. Who would be our ultimate example? What about Jesus? What about Jesus? The Bible says in Mark 1:35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and there He prayed. There He got with God. There He moved closer to God. Luke 5:16 says, and Jesus withdrew Himself into the wilderness to pray, to talk to God, to get with God, to move closer to God. Luke 6:12 says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out to the mountains to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. What is He getting ready to do? The next day when everybody came around, He called His disciples and chose 12. He got closer to God because He knew something was about to happen. He needed to do something. He needed to pick the 12. Bible, Matthew 14:23, just after He fed the 5,000, He fed 5,000, told the disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side, ministered to all the people, met their needs, and sent them home. The Bible says after that He went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening came, He was there all alone. Jesus. Example is we need to get closer to God. We need to get closer to God. We need to move towards God. Sometimes God's waiting on us and we think we're waiting on Him. Sometimes God says, I've done my part. Now it's time for your part. It's time for you to make a move, take a step, to seek, to call, to get closer, to draw nigh. Tonight, do you need to draw nigh? Do you need to get closer? Do you need to move towards God? That may be the step that it takes for you to break through to get what you need from God. If everybody would stand as Chris leads us in a song. If you need to move closer, you already got closer to the altar, so you have a shorter distance to go. If you need to move closer to Jesus, move up to Jesus. Draw nigh to Jesus. Right now's the time to do it.
149, page 149. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
You all sound good. You sound really good. And so does God. Remember, like Aaron said this morning, you don't got to be in church to make that move, take that step. When you need him, move towards him. He'll be there. Anybody have anything? Wednesday night, 7? Next Saturday. Spring forward, lose an hour. Spring forward, lose an hour. Go to bed early because you're going to lose it. Never works that way. Do what? We haven't had winter.
I'm okay.
No. We got winter today. All right. Anybody else? Like, all right, so I'm clueless on this one. Is it in the making in West Virginia?
Yep.
That would be confusing to for the rest of the country for us, right? Right. Well, I know. All right, but like when things do Eastern Standard Time and we don't do that, I'm like, what time is it? I don't know. Right.
We just won't spring.
Right, I know, but we won't be moving and changing. I don't know. If we're not going with everybody else, I'm already confused.
Well, there's two states now has it.
Right.
Always has never changed.
Right.
I think it's Arizona and Indiana, maybe.
Yes. Wouldn't make things easier. Do we want it? Are we praying for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm praying for. Who wants it in here? Who wants the bill that goes we don't change time?
Spring up and stay.
I hate the spring. All right. So we're all praying that it passes. Well, we can do that. It don't matter to me. All right, anybody else?
Me neither. Better kids than good school.
All right.
Just ruin the world we live in.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you anything you don't get off the news, but the news does tell you a lot. But I got to listen to some of our higher-ups talk a little bit this weekend. There's a lot of people in other countries.
Yeah.
We get, and I mean this in the right way, get so wrapped up over the politics when what I'm saying is be advised there's an entire world out there that are having a lot of strife, a lot of conflict, a lot of hot places in the world right now.
Right.
I know GM always requests prayer for the military, and I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But there are places in the world that never seen so many places of turmoil that's going on right now in the world. In the
right,
world.
Right.
Countries are actually fighting with each other that never fought with each other before. And I don't realize it because I don't dig into the news like that. But our world for our children needs our prayers.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else? All right, if you'd bow your heads. Al, would you dismiss us?
Father, we thank you. You've given us a privilege, Lord, to draw nigh to you. And we are, Father, through all the obstacles, the detours, the heartache, the disappointment, it should draw us closer. As our Father, they were discussing, Timmy mentioned the hot spot. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. But then,
safe going home.